Listening with love to the word. In conversation through hurting, healing and hope. Week one. Will anyone listen?
You've chosen a text from Matthew, and I'm just wondering what it was that prompted you to make that choice.
It's part of a journey I've been making for almost 60 years. And it's interwoven with, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." My abuse that I suffered happened when I was quite a young girl and I was on holiday. I'd been invited to go on holiday by the curate who was taking a group of chosen children on holiday. My parents were thrilled I was going. And it was there that it happened when we were away on this holiday. A mixture of girls and boys, just with the curate looking after us. And it happened to all the girls. I don't know about the boys. It was never talked about. We didn't speak about it among us. I think we were traumatized and we just grieved in our own way. When we came back, I never spoke of it. I felt, yes, violated, obviously, but I also was aware that something horrendous had happened, something very wrong had happened, that included me. And I ended up feeling ashamed, bitterly ashamed, that it had happened to me. And I didn't speak about it to my parents. One of the other mothers came to speak about it to my parents. And that was a horrendous occasion. My aunt was a very, very good, very pious person. And she got extraordinarily angry that this woman, this mother of another child, could say such things about a good holy priest who was doing his best for everyone. And his hands were ordained, and therefore they were sacred because he touched the body of Christ. She was angry with me for being caught up in this. I never mentioned it again, and neither did anyone in the house. It was about 30 years passed before I mentioned it again. From another point of view, it was interesting that, looking back on it, that I physically lost my voice for 2 months. They couldn't find a reason, the doctors and the specialists. There was no infection, there was no reason. And that happened twice during my growing up, once for 2 months and once for 3 months, because I had lost my voice. But in the middle of all that journey, I was always aware of the Lord's voice. "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And God continually spoke to my heart. But I was deeply hurt that the people within the church in the hierarchy, whom I contacted several times, they sort of drowned out that voice of God. After 30 years, I had got to the point when I really needed to do something about this burden. I was working in the university and school and parish in a chaplaincy role. I'd done a lot of listening to other people's traumas. It was getting more and more difficult to hear the trauma and know I could do nothing about it. I couldn't be of any help at all. But over and over again, I was assured the greatest help was to listen. One man who rang me up from Ireland, as it happened, said, "I had to ring you. I saw your name somewhere. And after all, what bishop or priest is going to listen to the likes of me? Which is harsh, but there have been some very painful experiences of all of us who've tried to make our voice heard and begged for someone to listen. The first time I spoke to a child protection officer who happened to be a priest at the time, I was told I was making a malicious allegation and the phone went down. And that beautiful passage from Matthew 25 has always spoken to me throughout this journey. When did we see you a stranger and make you welcome? Because I felt I was not welcome. My story wasn't welcome. I was told by one child protection officer that there was no record at all of the priest concerned ever having worked in the diocese. She inquired, was I hoping for money? The next child protection officer told me that there was no file on my case, no notes, no anything. When Jesus said and was asked, when were you lacking clothes? That speaks to me because of the sheer vulnerability of being naked that we all know about. And after abuse, in my experience, that vulnerability of my whole person stayed with me. And I longed for the church to, in a sense, put a warm cloak of understanding and compassion around me. I wanted that to be offered by the diocese, but for years it wasn't. But there were other wonderful people who did offer it, priests of a religious community, and in recent years, the support of the bishops and our recent safeguarding officer. But just as in Matthew 25, people are bewildered, well, when did we see you in this situation? And the subtext is, because if we'd known it was you, we wouldn't have been like this. And something has saddened me about my journey, all sorts of things, but one thing is I have noticed amongst several groups of people that there's a culture of skepticism that spread to many others, laity in my Catholic community and in the wider secular community. And in recent years, I've attended some meetings and a layperson has actually said, you know, I don't believe all these people who say they've been abused by a priest. Do you think they're just after money? I mean, if it was real, they'd have said so years ago. Understandably, a question that many ask. But what I found shocking and incredibly saddening was the silence that followed the question. Nobody else in the room offered anything, and the priest shrugged. But Matthew 25 and the quote from Samuel also points me in the direction of the blessings throughout the journey, the blessings of God's voice directly, which never has been drowned out by the actions or the failure to act by the structures of hierarchy in my church. In fact, spoken more and more powerfully through scripture and also to the voices of others who maybe feel as much on the margins and as bruised as I do when I've been with the sick, refugees, asylum seekers, homeless. And a blessing is that this horrendous experience has maybe opened up a part of me to be more empathetic to those at the margins and more profoundly grateful to those who listen, not just to me, but to each other, and respond with almost bottomless compassion, again, which has been shown to me in so many times through so many people. And our church is flawed and bruised, possibly because it's made up of people like me who are flawed and bruised. But yes, it still hugs me and holds me because of so many blessings and God's love. What do you feel about these readings?
Well, if you want an absolutely honest response at the moment, it's not the readings that I'm thinking of at the moment. It's your story. I mean, I just can't think how painful the journey has been. And yet you see God's love and you see his blessing throughout. And I suppose just in a way, a very superficial response to your question is, sounds ridiculous really perhaps, but to say how glad I am for you and for anyone who's been in this position or very similar for whatever reason, how glad I am that these words of Jesus have been an inspiration to you in the way that they have. And that thing you said about the sense that maybe of people maybe thinking, well, if we'd known it was you, that you were going through this, yeah, we would have responded differently. But that's the thing, isn't it? Abuse is so often hidden. I don't mean just the act. I mean the fact of the person who has been abused is unable to speak about it, to share it, and that need to listen, because we don't know each other's stories. We don't know what each other has been through. I'm sorry, that's not a very good answer to your question.
I think it's a wonderful answer and one that I learn from. Thank you.
The thanks are absolutely all mine, but thank you as well.